Lord, we invite you to be in our midst. We know you want to be here, and we want to be here, Lord. So just pray, help us. Holy Spirit, help us. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with your spirit, Lord. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your peace, your gentleness. We love you, Lord. We love you to be in the midst of your spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would come to direct this discussion. Help to help people to give what time to have. And we pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, I want to discuss prayer and fasting. And how I'm going to start out is share my journal, to share the things I'm discussing with the Lord. So this is just a few days ago. I said, I need to hear from you, Lord. I don't understand why some prayers work and some don't. I don't understand why Janine is suffering, why she was never healed, why my sister was never set free. I know this earth life is not how you planned it. I know you had to give us free will. We can't love without free will. But how does prayer work? How does fasting work? Much of the time, it doesn't seem like there's any change. I believe we want change, so it has to be on our part. This is what I felt the Holy Spirit said. When you're given everything without no work on your side, you're spoiled. Spoiled means something was good, but because it wasn't used, it became worthless. If you don't use your muscles in your body, they become useless. Resistance is necessary for growth. People who don't believe in me don't seek me. All the natural occurrences in earth life affect them, just like the natural occurrences affect you. But they don't know me. They don't know my love, my plans, your heavenly home. Life is natural for them, but you live in a natural and supernatural. So I'm saying, so what is prayer? Prayer is entering the supernatural. Prayer goes beyond the natural. You step into a new place. You step into the heavenlies. Yes, your feet are planted in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies, you come face to face with me. You are asking me for miracles to take place in the earthly. Prayer is entering a place way beyond the earth. Every prayer is heard, but not every prayer is answered as you would like. There are many resistances. Your own flesh can cause resistance. Your mind can cause resistance. The enemy can cause resistance. The earth itself, gravity, can cause resistance. My plan may not be your plan. Sometimes the thing that looks terrible to you is my doing to release a better plan. When a young person dies, it appears tragic. But just suppose that young person would have rejected me later in life. Wouldn't you rather have him safely home with me? I said, okay. So prayer is going into the heavenlies to talk to you. But we see no change here on earth. So what difference does it make if I pray? I felt the Holy Spirit said, but there is always change. There's a change in you. When you pray, you come into my presence. You say, I believe you, Lord. Here I am. It's me and you. There's say, forget your prayer, I'm not going to do anything, I always do something. Your mother's prayers affected your life and the lives down from your generation. They are still affecting lives today. Your prayers are the same. Do you see why the word says pray without ceasing? Every prayer affects someone. When you pray for President Trump, it affects him. You think, well, I hardly pray for him. That's true. But a short little prayer affects him. You see what I'm doing in Abby's life. You know the enemy is ticked off. He thought he had it, and now he knows he doesn't. But he hopes enough harassment will turn her away. It's not going to turn her away. I emphasize, not going to happen. She will be strengthened by her fight, and she will help others. So what happens when you pray for her? Many things. Angels are enlisted. Yes, your prayer sends forth angels. You don't even have to say, send the angels. It happens. People are enlisted. Even a stranger can be used by an angel. And the Holy Spirit can make breakthroughs. You always have the Holy Spirit, but there is resistance right in your own body. Your mind, your emotions can resist the Holy Spirit. You can imprison the Holy Spirit. When you pray, hours in prayer. What do they do or say over all those hours? My mother was a prayer warrior. She had her list. If a stranger asked her to pray for their child, she'd still be praying months later. If a stranger asked me to pray for their child, I'd pray right there and then, and most likely never pray for them again. If it's your plan to do such and such, then what for us to pray? Do we cause you to change your mind? Do you need our help for your will to come about? Do we have an influence on other people's lives to bring them to your will? I guess I don't understand where prayer fits into the plan. When I know your specific will in my life, my family's lives, my friends' lives, it's easier to pray. I believe these things happen that are not your will in our lives. It's living on earth. I'm sure there were Christians that were trapped under the rubble in Venezuela. Was it your great-grandfather's will? Was it his will for his children to be hurt and killed? I don't think so. No, this earth is not heaven. Why should we pray? This world is evil. You're thinking of prayer as petitions. Prayer is friendship. You share your heartaches with friends. Prayer is sharing your heartaches with me. There's no formula for prayer. When you call or text a friend, you don't have a format for how you talk or what you say. It's just a conversation. When you, I was praying for Bethany, my granddaughter at the time. When you pray for Bethany, do you think I'm listening? I do. Do you think I'm going to do what you ask me? I'm not sure. Maybe you have a different plan than I do. So, I believe you listen, but I don't know if you're going to act on them. I think about the containers of prayers in heaven. I even think about the tears that are saved. I wonder about the golden bowls holding our prayers filled with incense. I wonder how full my bowl might be. I wonder about the prayers I've said and the bowl of prayers said for me. Not only does God hear our prayers, he saves them. So I believe you hear me, Lord, but I'm not sure what you do with them. What kind of difference do they make in the lives of the people I'm praying for? If I pray once for something, does that prayer keep coming up to you? Does a prayer never stop? Anybody have any comments? Because we're going to look up some scriptures.
I just have something to say because we have to, when we pray, we have to believe that we've received it before it comes to pass. We have to know. That's it. God wants us to pray, but he wants us to see it done. And then
that's the first scripture I have. So I want to look at some scriptures so you can take a Bible or your phone. Somebody, go ahead, and give me Mark 11:24.
Let me start again.
Mark 11:24. Sandy Duke, John 15:7.
John 15:7.
James 4. After, I'm going to do James 4:2-3. John 14:8. Those first. Oh, Matthew 18. That's about Matthew 18:18-20.
Which translation is more good?
I'll do this. Got it.
Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.
So it's like you have, it's like, well, Jesus is striped. Because of Jesus' stripes comes our healing. Yeah. Something that happened in the past.
Right, it's already been done. Actually, they say that Jesus says that it's finished. It's all finished. It's all planned already. It was planned in your book before you were born. And there is a plan that you have to walk out. You need to stay close to the Lord to find out, listen for the directions.
So are you saying that our prayers don't happen because we don't believe we have received them?
They still could be coming. I mean, you have to really hang in there and believe. But I think God can talk to you about whether or not you're on the right track. You know, maybe there's things that you pray that are not, you know, anything written in the scripture that he promises, that's something you can count on. But your own, like, you know, for the Mercedes or for the Mercedes or whatever that you want, you know, my mansion's in heaven. I believe that because, although, you know, whatever.
I know, Tom, you always say sometimes we shouldn't pray for things because God wants people to go through those things.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, you know, you have to, especially for those that you love, you don't want to see them, and I say this to parents and grandparents all the time, do not pray them out of the situation the Lord has put them in, because it may be the very thing that will bring them to salvation. Pray that God will see them through. Pray that God's like going through the fire or through the flood. Lord, see them through it until your will is in their lives. It may be the only thing that will bring them to salvation. That's why I tell parents and grandparents, look, you got to be really careful. Oh, God, please don't let them go through that. No. God, if they've got to go through that, Lord, I pray that salvation is the end result of that. I pray that your will was done through that. But don't try to pray your kids, your grandkids out of the situation God has brought them into, especially if they're not saved. Now, if they're saved, that's a different story. Lord, if they have to go through, then that's what you pray. But that, I always said that. And that's why so many kids today, whether I don't care how old they are still not saved, because you keep praying them out. And God's going, do you want them saved or not? Then stop praying that I take them out of this. They have to get into the whale. They have to go into the bottom of the ocean because this is the only way that they'll get saved. But too often, oh, God, please, not that. No,
that's true.
It's the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, we see it with Elijah, okay? And he had to go into the, you know, the brook Cherith.
Yeah.
It was not a nice place.
No.
Okay? It, you know, when you first read it, you think about, oh, it's great. There's a little babbling brook, and the birds come and feed them every day. And no, it was a chasm. It was a rock,
yeah.
and it was a narrow place. It wasn't comfortable. The prodigal son, okay? The father could have gone and rescued him, but he had to finally find himself eating with, not eating with the pigs, eating the pigs' food. Okay, so there is a thing. Especially the backslider, because when the backslider rededicates, they begin to really understand what is good and what isn't, what is right and what is wrong. Most young Christians, they don't know what right and wrong is right now.
I think prayer also is necessary because it's your connection with God. You're talking to God, God's talking to you. And we can pray what we want to pray for, but because you know it might not be the right thing. We pray that yes, we God do your will. We have to sit back and wait. And sometimes the door's shut, and sometimes the door's open. But you have to keep talking. And that's why I think that as talking to God is your conversation.
Yeah, but there's one thing about talking, there's nugget about listening.
My God, you heard you one mouth and two ears.
He wants you to ask.
Yes.
John 16.
John 15:7.
15:7.
We'll do another one while you go get it. Go ahead, James 4.
I do. 4, what is it?
2 through 3.
Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. And I often say that you can pray to God, God, I want an atomic bomb. But guess what? You're not going to get it, because it'll end up destroying you. Same thing in the prayer life. If God sees that's going to destroy you, you're never going to receive it. That's how I see it.
Commentary.
Hey.
And one of the things in there is you have not because you ask not.
Yeah.
You ask me.
Find it.
I think so. 15:7.
Yes.
But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted.
Is it?
No.
No, if you remain in me and I in you. So if you're in my will, like
if you're wondering.
You're not asking for an atomic bomb.
Right.
You're
so first of all, yes.
Remaining in him.
So if you are in God, you're not going to ask something stupid.
Thank you.
And I don't want to use that word, but that's literally, I believe that's what it means. You're going to ask what is right, holy, acceptable unto him.
Exactly.
And loving him and then loving each other.
Right.
So if you're going to him and petitioning for, like, then that's out of...
See, when you think about being in the flesh and being in the spirit, how many are in the flesh in their prayer, asking for things that is not in God's will? It's worldly things. See, we have a shopping list of things that we desire. It's the flesh. The spiritual man should know better. We're just passing through this place. We're sojourners. I'm gonna ask things for spiritual things, not for the physical things.
Can you start with, if it's your will, then pray? Oh, you just said that.
I was told that God knows what we ask for before we pray. So what we need, you know, what we want. And he wants to give us everything because he loves us so much, you know. But sometimes you have to, the thing is, and come on.
Sometimes you have to wait.
Well, no, but if you're walking in the path that he has for you, like when you go to see somebody at a nursing home or you do something kind for somebody else, you know, you don't expect to get repaid, but that's when God will repay you, when you do something that's out of your, you know, regular, what, you know, your selfishness, you know, if you do something for somebody else. That's what I think.
So the verse in scripture which says, commit your way unto the Lord and he will direct your paths. And of course that's not just in prayer, it's in your whole life. But of course being human, we don't always do that. And sometimes when we're praying, and we're praying amiss as it were, God will overrule in that situation because he wants to train us. We are disciples, we're under discipline as well. And sometimes we don't understand. And I've been through things, I'm sure you have too, Lord, I just don't understand why this is happening. But looking back, you can see God's hand in it. And sometimes you can't. But God is so great, so loving, and he's really going to do what's right for us. You may not always feel it, but that's where our confidence is in Christ.
John 14,
13 and 14 is, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Here's something in John where John 16:30, couple of verses. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you, as disciples said to Jesus. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the day, the hour is coming, indeed has come, when you will all be scattered, each to his home. And sometimes I could pray and say something, I believe this will come to pass. Do I really believe it? Do I mean absolute, not just saying it, do I really believe it? You know what I mean? That's a fine line. Do you really believe? Do you not believe? They believe that Jesus came from God, but yet, they scattered. They didn't say, oh, I believe Jesus will rescue me, and I'm not worried about it. You know, in the Old Testament, all of the miracles, and Elijah crossing the sea, all that. They knew, they believed it. It wasn't like this them saying it, you know. They really believed it in their heart. And I think sometimes I might pray, not totally. I might pray and say, I believe this is going to come to pass. But do I really believe it? I don't know.
All right. We look at Hebrews 7:25.
Matthew 18:18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. There's a lot of ifs in there.
I think the biggest lesson I ever learned was that singer whose wife was so sick she was on her deathbed, and he kept praying for her healing, and then all of a sudden she sat up and said, I'm healed, and immediately the Lord took her. So time is all in God's hands. Not that he's slow, but that when I saw this, wow, could I think Janine's my biggest, what's the word I want to look for? Because everybody I've ever prayed for, there's been a result. But Janine is sort of like my Mount Rushmore, my the thing, and no matter how many times I pray or what I pray, I feel as though my prayers aren't hitting the mark, as it were. There was a guy up in upstate Connecticut, and he came and asked for prayer because his kidneys were failing, and he had to go in to have his kidneys worked on. It was his gallbladder, I forget, whatever it was. So I took him in the back room, and I laid hands on, prayed for him. And about 3-4 weeks later, I see this kid at Sheila Stalker's house. He goes, you remember me? And I look at him and says, Mike, I honestly can't. I'm the guy you prayed for in the back room. Oh, yeah. So I got to tell you, I went in for the surgery the next day. And I said, yeah. And the day he said, I'm totally healed. I don't need any surgery. Is he following the Lord as of today, as far as I know? No. But here's Janine, whose heart is towards God, and God still hasn't touched her. And I told my son, I said, look, it may be just like this singer. The moment before the Lord takes her home, she may be healed, but then going to take her home. I said, she's my, like I said, my Mount Rushmore, the thing I just can't fathom why there isn't some sort of result there.
So in this one here, you know, God tells us that, in another scripture he tells us that if two or more, there's more power.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, if two, why does he want two or more praying?
So you don't ask amiss.
Also agreement.
Unity.
Agreement.
Yeah. Unity. When that was in the Jewish law, if two agreed, then it was true, it would happen.
So how much harder does it get to 20 or 50 or 100 to agree?
And, And those are all right. How about one more for encouragement? See? Because somebody says something a little bit different. And the sovereignty of God, who can explain the sovereignty of God? Because God is God. And we just have to, by faith. That's why he says, walk by faith and not by sight. But yet he doesn't tell us to give up praying. See?
I mean, sometimes God uses you in your illness to empower other people. You can be able to witness in your illness. You know, several times you've seen it, like Denise. God is using her as she is. If she was made whole, would she meet those people? Would she have made those people?
Jane ministers to people in the hospital. When she's so sick.
And then the Apostle Paul, it said that he prayed three times for his illness to be removed from him. Side. And God said to him, no, my grace is sufficient for you. So you just don't know.
Just
don't know. Hebrews 7:25.
Carlos has got it.
7:25.
Good man.
Therefore, he is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf.
So Jesus is interceding for us. Jesus himself is praying for us.
Yeah.
You know what I came to the realization? That all of Jesus' prayers are answered.
Right, because it depends on us.
He wants everybody to be saved. Mm-hmm. And here he is, Jesus, and his prayers aren't answered.
It's a little more complicated than we think, you know.
Free will, I think, is part of it too.
It is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the biggest part of having free will.
Well, and the concept is we're limited with our construction of God because we're limited by time and space, and we know that God isn't. C.S. Lewis always did a described a physical thing of, like, if you think of like a globe or a thing that's on a timeline, and so how can God know before, now, ever, and be all present, all knowing, and things? But if you think of somebody outside of that construct that can just pinpoint and go and move to parts of the movie, in a sense, where you're actively living it, but you're outside it, so you can flip and be in different places at the same exact time. But the only way it makes sense is the fact that you're outside of the whole construct of what we're limited by. And so it just helps you to at least grasp the concept that you can't grasp it, that, you know, like, where did God come from? How does this go? You know, you try and trace it back. And so it's that concept that we're never going to, because we're limited by things that God isn't limited by. But we're set by rules that he put in place. And so it's not for us to understand beyond it. It's for us to work within, whether it's the rules of Earth, like physics and gravity, or whether it's the construct of free will and what God, everyone has a beginning and an end on this earth, but not beyond this earth. So.
It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us.
God bless you.
Just another verse that says that Jesus is praying for us. Romans 8:26. I'll read it. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So not only do we have Jesus praying for us, we have the Holy Spirit.
And that's a perfect prayer.
For us.
Right.
The New Living Translation versions says, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words.
So the other question I had was about fasting.
Somebody, when you fast, is your prayer better, stronger?
First of all, the scripture says when you fast. It doesn't say if you fast. Jesus is telling. So we're expected to fast. And over, you know, I don't fast that often. The first time I fasted once for 3 days, it was for your aunt. I didn't really know what I was doing, and I ate a big meal when it was over, which they tell you not to do. But I do not find, I feel like I enter the presence of God much stronger when I fast. Does anybody else have experience fasting where
that's where you're denying the flesh and allowing the spiritual man to be predominant.
Right.
And that's
what
that's the part.
I don't know if you read it, was about how that really provokes the devil when you fast. Because the devil uses the flesh. The devil. The devil doesn't understand us because it doesn't have any humanity. You know? So when the devil sees that our flesh is controlling us, that pleases him. So the one thing that happens is it's a way to infuriate the devil is to fast.
Or you know, when it said Jesus went out very early in the morning. I don't think that he sat down first and had a big breakfast and, you know, read the paper first and then he decided to pray. So I think sometimes, I think possibly for me, if I pray in the morning before I eat, so, you know, in a sense, denying my flesh,
right.
It helps me, enables me better. Right. But if I, after I eat a big meal and this and that during the middle of the day, it just, I don't have that same heart, you know, as first thing in the morning when you're fasting and then pray.
That's a good example.
I think for me with that is the commitment to the prayer. So it's kind of, I don't want to say doubling down, but in a sense, I'm not good at it, but in the times where I can think, the time that I fasted, like, was a week, was Pastor Bob's. That was, and, but it was a commitment to the prayer that the fast came with it, not like a prayer in and of itself. Like, it was almost like the sacrifice that came with the commitment to pray. So not necessarily that it enhanced it, but it was like the commitment to it.
The Bible say anything about living a fasted life? Like it's more than
giving up food.
Right.
But in Isaiah, he talks about feeding the poor.
Yeah.
As a
I don't think fasting is limited to food.
No.
Dying yourself.
Right.
You know, of whatever, and that comes with salvation. That we, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ lived in me, and I live, but now I say, in the flesh. Somebody help me. By the
saved me and gave himself for me. So we were supposed to be dead, and so that means we have to deny ourselves. And that's you know, something that we have to work on every day in almost every situation. Are we going to push this issue or not? You know, and are we going to let it go? Are we going to understand what?
So thank you, Lord.
I feel encouraged, Lord. I feel encouraged by your word. I feel encouraged by your people. I feel encouraged for who you are and how much you love us.
Amen.
Amen.